Well, let's pray to the Lord together. Father God, we thank you for the great gift of your written word, and we ask for your Holy Spirit now to open our eyes to see what you have to say to us, and we ask for that power of the Spirit to change our hearts to become more like Jesus. Amen. As I was preparing for this morning, I originally thought I'd tell you all about my experience of church as a teenager. You see, as a teenager, I had to go to church. It was compulsory. I was in a small boarding house, and every Sunday, like it or not, we were marched down the road to the parish church, and let's just say it was a very, very dull experience. And I was originally going to tell you about how we teenagers found the hypocrisy of some of the church members hard to handle. There's something about teenagers, they can spot hypocrisy a mile off. And I was thinking about, for example, the headmaster's wife sitting there looking splendid in her hat, acting the part of the good Christian lady, whereas actually we knew better. We knew what she was like back at school. And as I was thinking about saying this, I thought, oh dear, I'm behaving in the same way. Am I not being a hypocrite in standing in judgment over her? And in our Bible reading, of course, we hear those words, do not judge, and you will not be judged. I realised I was being guilty of being judgmental. I was being hypocritical. Jesus has some strong words to say about this whole area of judging others and hypocrisy in today's Bible reading from Luke. And although I'll have words on the screen, but it would be good if you had the Bible passage open, page 1034. Luke chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 36 through to 45. But let's start with verse 36. And this carries on from what Ernest was saying to us last week. This is the positive side of it all. This is how we should be behaving. Jesus says, be merciful just as your Father in heaven is merciful. You see, as Christians, we're to be imitators of God, showing mercy as he shows mercy. Do you remember that wonderful story Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 18? The unmerciful servant. Do you remember that parable? It's very powerful. A servant comes in before a king, and he owes the most enormous debt, and there's no way he can pay it off. As a result, he's sentenced to imprisonment. However, he begs the king for mercy. Have mercy on me. And the king, out of love, shows mercy. He doesn't have to go to prison. The debt is wiped clean. And as that servant, having received mercy, goes out, who does he come across? But a second servant. And this second servant owes a fraction of the amount to the first servant. But he does owe him some money. How does servant number one react? He grabs him by the neck. Pay back what you owe me. I can't. Have mercy on me. He doesn't have mercy. He sends him to prison. You can imagine how the king feels about this. He pulls in the first servant, has a real go at him, and throws him into prison. How can you not show a little bit of mercy to your fellow servant, having received a huge amount of mercy, the king says. Now that's a powerful story because it relates to us directly. Because we have been forgiven the most enormous amount of debt. Jesus Christ gave himself totally for us. He died in our place on the cross for our sins, so we could be forgiven, and our debt, if we have faith, is wiped clean. No more sin between us and God. So how awful then for us to go out and not show mercy to our fellow brothers and sisters. Even if they have done us wrong, the amount they have done wrong is minuscule in comparison to the wrong we have been forgiven by God. So Jesus says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Forgive and you will be forgiven. We're called as Christians to be imitators of God, imitators of Jesus Christ. people quick to forgive, slow to condemn. Now we do, of course, need to be clear about this. In verse 37, when Jesus says, "Do not judge," he's not saying, "Look, sin doesn't matter anymore." No, of course sin matters. Jesus is talking about having a judgmental attitude. He's talking about when we try to put someone else down so that we can look good ourselves. And that's not the way of love. No, Jesus calls us to be people who freely forgive. Verse 38, I don't have that one up, but it's we're told to give and it will be given to you. Now that works on many levels. It works on the level of finance. The more generous we are, often we find God just providing for us in wonderful ways. But it particularly applies here in this context. The more merciful we are, the more forgiving we are, the more we will receive blessing from God. But the worst thing for Jesus is when he sees us acting as hypocrites. How dare we condemn others when we are guilty of the same things? And one of the best examples of all of this is that when Jesus is for that woman caught in the act of adultery in our first reading. You may wish to turn to it with me. I'll bring up some of the verses. The Pharisees bring this woman before Jesus. And as we come to this story, it's easy to think, oh, here we go again. It's those big, bad Pharisees. They're an awful bunch. Those Pharisees, they're always trying to have a go at Jesus. Of course, we would never be like that, would we? Well, wouldn't we? We need to remember that the Pharisees are actually very like us. The Pharisees, well, they stood up for what was right. They stood up for God's laws. They were concerned about the way society was going. So in today's society, they would be the good Christians, pointing out where the moral chaos is occurring. When we hear that, we realise that actually we are quite like the Pharisees. And in the New Testament, Jesus has some of the harshest things to say to people like the Pharisees, not because they were trying to be good, of course not, but because of their hypocrisy. And it's one of the greatest dangers that we face, that same trap that the Pharisees fell into, the danger of self-righteousness. The Pharisees were quick to judge, but they were slow to look at themselves. Let's look at the acts of hypocrisy. There's actually several in this episode. The first one, this woman is caught in the act of adultery. But if she's caught in the act, that means there must be two people. How many people are brought before Jesus? You see, sexism is nothing new. Where is the man? Anyway, acts of hypocrisy number two. The Pharisees don't want a genuine answer. We read that they're out to trap Jesus in that passage. They come with impure motives. And they say, "The law says this woman should be stoned. What do you say, Jesus?" Jesus simply responds by saying, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And so Jesus holds up this mirror and exposes the third act of hypocrisy. "Are you not guilty yourself? If any of you is guilty, if any one of you is not guilty, you may throw a stone." And I think what Jesus is doing here, he is acting out his teaching of Luke chapter 6. We have in the Bible Jesus teaching by word and example. If you do not want to be judged yourself, don't judge others. All human beings are in the same boat. We're all sinners. We all need forgiveness. We all need mercy. So each accuser in that story drops their stone and walks away as they realise they are all guilty of one sin or another. And then what does Jesus say to the woman? Does he say, "It's all right, love, off you go, doesn't matter"? No, he says, I do not condemn you. But now, go and leave your life of sin. So when Jesus says, don't judge, he's not saying don't evaluate if somebody's behaving rightly or wrongly. The woman has done wrong. Jesus, he acknowledges the wrong. But he forgives and says, go and sin no more. He doesn't condemn. And the message to us is, forgive freely and you will be forgiven. Because we're all in the same boat. We all need forgiveness. So how can we have that judgmental attitude when we're not innocent ourselves? Back in Luke 6, verse 41, Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I was flipping through the TV channels the other night, and I found the Christian channel, TBN, and R.T. Kendall from Westminster Chapel was speaking. And he told this story about his predecessor, the wonderful Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was minister of Westminster Chapel back in the 50s and 60s. But one time he apparently travelled to the United States for a couple of weeks to do some preaching and other appointments. The first week he stayed with a lovely Christian couple. They were smashing. But every mealtime the same topic came up. Oh, you know, these Christians around who smoke and drink, it really isn't right. It sets such a bad example. Oh, I really wish they wouldn't. It's terrible. Every mealtime, it was their pet topic. They seemed obsessed by it. Now, of course, the Bible says nothing against drinking and smoking. Of course, it says something against being drunk. And I wouldn't advise smoking. But they were obsessed by it. Anyway, the week finished, and Martin Lloyd-Jones travelled on an aeroplane to Grand Rapids, I think it was. And at the airport, he's met by the next Christian couple. And there's the husband, happily smoking a cigar as he meets him, to Martin's amusement. They get into the car, they drive home, walking through the door, and Martin, would you like to relax? How about a glass of brandy? So he was quite amused, because they too were a wonderful Christian couple. And he was thinking about this, and the end of the second week came, he's preaching in the evening, and on the way back home, the last evening in America, they pass a Howard Johnson selling this lovely ice cream. And Martin Lloyd-Jones says, oh please, can we pull in there? I really miss this ice cream, can't get it in London. And so they pull over the car. They don't seem too pleased about it, but Martin Lloyd, he goes in and he starts eating his ice cream, and everyone else is sitting there not having anything. And he looks around and says, look, I'm sorry, have I offended you? Is something wrong? But of course, it is the Sabbath, you know. And we don't really agree with Christians buying things on the Sabbath. Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones spoke to his wife later on, saying, it's interesting, isn't it? Two wonderful Christian couples, but they both have their thing that they're judgmental about on other Christians, which really aren't the most critical things. And he said, I wonder, what is it that we judge other Christians on? I wonder what it is for us at St. John's. Behaviour does matter. We must never condone sin, but half of the time the things we're judgmental on are purely cultural. Too often we judge people simply because they're not people like us. And even if they are committing a sin, well, first, let's take the plank out of our own eye so we can see the speck in their eye. That is the way of love. As we draw to a close, I want to read again verses 43 to 45. Let's see how these verses fit in. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognised by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So how do we get to be good people with good hearts who only bring up good, non-judgmental stuff out of their mouths? I think there's two ways. I think the first way is in verses 39 and 40. We need to follow the right teacher. Foolish to follow a blind teacher, but the right teacher is Jesus Christ, who shows us in both word and example how not only to live a moral life, but to live a life that is full of grace and forgiveness, slow to judge, quick to forgive. So we follow Jesus, the good teacher. But even then, how can we do that if we've got a rotten heart? Because the Bible teaches that we do have rotten hearts. So the second way, and probably most importantly, is to come to Jesus, say, I want to follow your ways, but I need a heart transplant. By default, the human heart is inclined to self-righteousness, self-centeredness. But Ezekiel chapter 36 speaks of how God will cleanse his people from sin. He will remove our hearts of stone and give us new hearts. He will fill us with his Holy Spirit so that our hearts will be inclined to follow the ways of Jesus. We need new hearts. We need God's Spirit in us, because only then can we be imitators of God, imitators of Jesus Christ, loving to show forgiveness and mercy. So let's pray. Father, we confess that we are so often self-righteousness. We are quick to judge. And we ask this morning that you help us to change. Help us to follow the way of Jesus. But in order to do that, give us new hearts. Fill us with your Spirit so that we might cast away the things of this world and live for the things of your kingdom, where there is forgiveness, there is mercy, and there is holiness. Please transform us through the work of your Spirit. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit. Amen.